The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game here on VSiN. Matt Brown in for the vacationing Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin here on the desk with me. And we have talked a lot of NFL, and the reason being is because these are some interesting markets that have gotten up very, very early. Yeah. Out there. And like, you know, Kelly, we look at this and it's...
Well, and for anybody who's listened to Gil regularly or Gil and the two of us regularly, know we love betting the NFL draft. So, sorry, yeah. You're going to get a lot of NFL draft talk.
And it's and listen, it is a... I can't say for certain for this year, but it's been one of the more profitable endeavors over the course of the last several seasons for us. And so, you know, putting in the time, the research, and all of that has... at least for the last few years, bear fruit. But, like, you know, who knows? I mean, like, we can't guarantee anything. We can't guarantee anything. But I'd like to think that we win. I like to think we win this year. So we talked some of these markets that are out there as far as, like, okay, what's going to be the number one pick? What's going to be the number two pick? What's going to be the number three pick? Well, also, if you go in that 2024 draft tab, there is player to be drafted by. And so that is one of the tabs. And you can go in. Team to select Blake Corum, team to select Bo Nix, team to select Brock Bowers, team to select Caleb Williams, team to select J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison. You can get Michael Penix is listed as well. So all of these, the interesting one I will say about Caleb Williams is if you are dead set that Caleb Williams is going to go number one overall to the Bears, the Bears is minus 425 as to where him going number one overall is minus 900. So there is that.
Yeah.
There is that.
I thought about that yesterday when I saw these odds, but.
Yeah. I mean, there is a chance.
There's a chance.
That the Bears trade the pick. I mean, you know, there is a chance. That
there's
the Bears
a chance. It is worth pointing out. I'm glad you did because it's worth pointing out. I do think, though, that if you were in the habit of going to lay minus 600, was that what it was? Minus 600?
Minus 425.
Okay, but still, if you're in the habit of going laying minus 425, you're probably okay bankroll wise to just go lay the minus 900 and feel a little bit more certain.
It's true.
About it.
It's true. It's true. But it's at least worth pointing out that there is, you know, a way to get invested into Caleb Williams to the Bears for cheaper, which would be minus 425 in that market. But you know, one of the guys that, like I said, I'm just kind of dead set on and where he's going to go is Marvin Harrison. And if you look, minus 200 for him to go to the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona Cardinals, of course, hold the number four pick in the draft right now. We expect this thing to go quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. And then at number four, a wide receiver needy team falls into a spot where you get one of the best wide receiver prospects that has come out in a very long time. If Marvin Harrison was eligible to have come out last year, he would have been the first wide receiver taken last year. But we know how that all works with the NFL, so it's this year, and that's where we sit with Marvin Harrison. And so, Kelly, you look at this, and at the minus 200, this is something we will repeat over and over and over again throughout the course of our lead-up to the draft and draft betting. We don't encourage people to lay a ton of juice in most markets out there. Like, it is, because at the end of the day, specifically, let's talk about these solo sports. Gil talks a lot of tennis on here. There's UFC, there's whatever. It's still a person that has to go out and physically perform. And injuries can happen.
One punch,
you know, they're wearing 4-ounce gloves.
Yeah.
A guy's playing tennis, he rolls an ankle, retired, whatever. There's all different ways that things can go wrong when you're actually betting on a sporting event when you're laying heavy juice.
Right.
But this is an informational market. Like Marvin Harrison, if he sprains his ankle walking up the stage, you know, to whatever, like, doesn't affect this market, right? I mean, like none of that happens. Like the only thing that could affect this market is a serious injury at one of these pro days or at one of these whatever. But again, those are very, very few and far between. We're handicapping an informational market, right? And so that's why laying the juice in these markets, and you're going to hear between now and when the draft goes off, I will have minus 475 bets in my account. I will have minus, and depending on how strongly I feel about something, I'll have minus 500 and 600 bets in my account. But minus 200 here for Harrison is a pretty interesting proposition for me, and maybe one that I'm going to look to get involved with, because I think the closer we get, and I'm talking when I say the closer we get, like just as the weeks, not even just not the days to the draft. I mean, I'm talking the next couple of weeks where this starts to shake out a little bit clearer that this is going to go quarterback, that this odds on Arizona Cardinals take Marvin Harrison, it's going to go through the roof. And minus 200 is actually pretty palatable for if you feel strongly about something in the NFL draft.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. So is this one you would make right now?
I think I would if that were available to us. And I looked around and it's not.
So, I did the same thing yesterday.
Yeah, so I looked around and it's not. So if you live in a DraftKings market, good on you because this is available to you. Of course, we don't have DraftKings here in Nevada. So if you're in one of those markets, this is a bet I would put into my account. Now, again, I'm willing to be wrong and lose this as well, right? Basically, I'm betting on a conviction that I have with the way things sit right now, but I mean, all things considered, Kelly, to me, the juice is not too much on this bet. And I think by the time we look at this thing in 3 weeks, it's probably 400 or 500.
I think that's all I was going to point out too, right? This is, unless we see a trade of some kind, right? Like this is likely, like minus 200, there's no way this number gets any better for you. This is getting worse.
It's only getting worse.
And I'm with you. Like, it might even be higher than that. Like, minus 500, I don't know. I could see minus 6, minus 700 or something like that. If the consensus talk continues as it is right now, and it is, I know you are very high on this, but just even listening to all the other draft experts, it's okay. This is the deadlock place of where he's going. As of right now, with what the current order is, it's minus 200 is very palatable.
Yeah. And it's something, again, we don't lay juice often and feel good about it, but laying juice in the NFL draft is something that we can certainly feel pretty good about. One of the other interesting ones on this list is Brock Bowers. And he is going to be a guy that might end up being the most confusing player in this entire draft because there are mocks out there right now, Kelly, by people who are pretty good at this that have him going as high as 5 to the Chargers and then have him going as low as like 24 in the draft as well, right? So we are talking, you rarely see spreads that wide that it's non-quarterback, right? Like it's for a consensus first round dude, you rarely see spreads that are that wide because it's kind of like if people think he would go as high as 5, then it's like, well, he's definitely not dropping below 12 or something, you know, or 13 because team X, Y, or Z would definitely take him by then. Quarterbacks, the range is wide because, of course, there's only so many teams that need a quarterback. Right? I mean, there's only so many teams that need one. But it is interesting with Bowers because if you look, yes, as high as 5 to the Chargers, and you will find stuff as low as, okay, luxury picks for a team like maybe Houston or a team like Green Bay or whatever, something like that. The people have mocked them into those kind of like low 20s teams because it would just be some sort of, you know, extra weapon for teams that are kind of on the up and up. I tend to fall into, if he were to sink a little bit in this draft, Kelly, I have a floor on Bowers. So ceiling floor of a lot of these players, over-unders will be coming out soon enough. Over-under pick XYZ to will he go, you know, let's say they set him at 15 and a half or something. Will he go picks 1 to 15 or will he go pick 16 and on?
And real quick, Bowers a little bit, it's just because he's kind of a different guy.
He is,
right? I mean, it's a different build from a normal typical tight end we see in the NFL these days.
It's the Kyle Pitts model, right? Which is you ain't gonna catch him blocking, right?
Right.
You ain't gonna catch him blocking.
He's a special talent out in the open.
Yeah, he is a receiver.
But he's not 6'8".
He's a receiver, block dead last if you need him to block type deal, right? Which, you know, and from a tight end standpoint, we've only recently come around to these dudes that only run routes, right? Like they don't block at all. He is that guy. And that being said, I have set a floor on him at 18 to Cincinnati. If for whatever reason he makes it all the way down there, I cannot imagine a scenario where he gets past Cincinnati at 18 because at the end of the day, Tyler Boyd they're not going to re-sign Tyler Boyd. T. Higgins could walk. So even if they do re-sign T. Higgins, you're still getting you're getting a rookie third option for, you know, 4 or 5 years on a rookie deal that isn't going to cost you all that much money as it is anyway. So for me, I've set a floor on him at Cincinnati at 18, which makes Cincinnati at least a fairly interesting bet to me at 14-1 for this, because there's a, we know they are, we've seen this with the way that they have conducted the draft here, Kelly, like they are okay going and getting Joe Burrow weapons. Like they understand what they have at the quarterback position. And so they are okay going and spending high draft capital to make sure that Joe Burrow has the weapons to succeed on the offensive side of the ball. And if he makes it down to them at 18, I can't see him getting past there. So I kind of like the Bengals at 14-1 in a market where that's only got to happen one in 13 and a half times for it to be profitable. So I'll take it.
Yeah, that's interesting. I like that one. I'm looking at some of the other teams in there. I mean, there's definitely some other teams that he's enough of a special talent, like we've seen in the mocks, that he could definitely go earlier. So, okay, is that one you would bet now, or you'd wait for draft position to show up? Because, his draft position could be a little bit all over the place, right, from what we've seen on mocks so far.
I bet you he's one of the last ones to...
That they even post a number for?
That they post.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked either.
Because...
Okay, better question. You think we're going to get draft positions earlier? Because that's still what... I don't think so either. Yeah. We're going to get these kind of markets a lot, but we're not going to get draft
positions. We're not going to get draft positions for a hot minute, because... Those are the most exploitable bets in the entire market.
And they're the best of bet, right?
Yes,
I mean, for everybody out there, those are the best of bet.
We said we were going to talk next team. Where is Saquon going to play? What about Derrick Henry? What about Josh Jacobs? We'll talk that when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Wake up each and every morning with the VSiN Daily Newsletter written by the man, the myth, the legend, Bill Ady. You get all our expert picks and analysis. You get the strategy stuff. You get highlighted articles that are featured over on VSiN.com. You get a little bit of Vegas insight, too, from old Bill along the way. VSiN.com/newsletter. It's absolutely free, so it's a way you can get access to stuff that we do without costing you a single dime. VSiN.com/newsletter, the VSiN Daily Newsletter.
Yeah, I mean, that's the, if you're not going to go out for a subscription right away, that's the obvious one to start with, because you get the little tease of you know, what's on the site, what's going on, what are we talking about here recently.
And like yesterday, it was featuring our stuff, but hey, he gave a couple of our picks in there as well,
and
so you didn't have to listen to the podcast. And hey, Bill, Let's have them listen to the podcast, all right? It'll be giving away the goods and all that. But yes,
you got the return of the Mac. Steve Mackinnon featured in there today with some systems and betting split stuff.
Yeah, so it just anyway, it's free.
It's free.
VSiN.com.
It's free, man.
Yeah, go in. Okay, so markets are just popping up left and right over at DraftKings, and you can bet all of the stuff that we're talking about over on DraftKings Sportsbook. And Saquon Barkley, we're pretty sure that he's going to be entertaining very heavily other teams. I mean, we have Giants as your favorite at -150. Where will player take next snap? -150 for the Giants. That's not an overwhelming favorite, of course. Texans +275. Chargers at 4-1. And then we kind of get to some longer shot odds there. Bears 16. Eagles 18. Ravens 22. Vikings 22. Cowboys are way out there at 25. Then you got the Raiders at 40 and the Bengals at 40 as well. You look at the people, you know, say, why are these, some of these teams even on there? Well, you know, look, if you look at the Texans, a team with some cap space, a team that's young, that might look at themselves and view themselves, Kelly, like, I still think they're probably 2 years away, but they might view it. We made a run this year, ended up getting in the playoffs this year. We add some more players and we might be able to actually to do this. And I think that, you know, that the reason they're the second shot here is, you look, young quarterback, got a young receiving core, kind of lacked in the run game this year. If there was any hole that you wanted to poke in that team, it would be that they were pretty inefficient running the football. And whether you think that running backs are worth the money or not, there is no questioning that Saquon Barkley is a freak athletic talent, that when you see him get into the open field with against a linebacker, you just know he's about to make this guy look silly.
Yeah. It's also going back to the financials real quick, right? Like, it is really easy to, I mean, if you're a good team in the NFL, you probably don't have the cap space where you would have the luxury of entertaining an option like this. And that's the time when you could be really picky about running backs and what they're worth to your actual overall team value. But when you could just add a player of this level of talent to a roster like the Houston Texans, it's a huge swing upward. That's where, like, I do think the running back conversation here over the past couple of years has gotten a little muddy from that standpoint. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the Texans have the fifth most cap space heading into the offseason. So you look, and could they afford to make – now, we're not arguing whether the money could be spent better elsewhere. Like, do they need players on the defensive side of the ball? They probably need a couple of guys on the defensive side of the ball. I get all that stuff. So we're not – that's not what we're arguing. But they have the money to where if they wanted to make a luxury spend on someone that – there's no questioning whether Saquon Barkley is a good player or not. Like, that is not the question. The question is it going to be worth the money that you have to invest to get him in on a multi-year deal? If you're the Texans, I don't know if the answer isn't yes.
I like the idea. I mean, think about how good C.J. Stroud was in his rookie season. Now, think about how good he could be in his second season with a running game to actually lean on.
When Damian Pierce didn't work.
When the defense doesn't know that you're passing it every single down. Yeah. Like, you're able to add someone in here like a Saquon Barkley, who also is a massive weapon in the passing game, too. Like, so there's that as well. I'm with you. The Texans have enough holes that the money, yes, money could be used in a lot of places. But, man, I think that would be a very, very interesting dynamic next to C.J. Stroud. And I'm going to be pretty bullish, I think, on the Texans this year. Like, this is – they are kind of – I made this comparison the other day, so I'll go back to it. The Texans are kind of like the Oklahoma City Thunder. Everybody wanted to kind of laugh. I played a win total over on the Thunder this year. Everybody kind of thought, hey, they last year was the year they made that big step. It's going to take them another year or two to take that next big leap. I think when you got the talent at quarterback with C.J. Stroud, I think it's obvious. I think it is obvious how good this guy is and is immediately in that top half of quarterbacks in the NFL. He was turning wide receivers into stars that, frankly, I hadn't really ever heard their names before last year with multiple guys. I think the sky's the limit. I don't think you should have low expectations for this team next year.
Yeah, and you look at this, so the Chargers are listed on there, and the reason the Chargers are sitting 4-1 is because everybody knows Austin Eckler is going to be out of town. But the problem is with the Chargers, and we all know that the cap is kind of a myth, and these magicians can do all these crazy things with it. But if you just look at the numbers on paper,
they're way more up against it.
The Chargers have the fourth worst cap situation in the NFL. Now, we all know the Saints are in like the worst cap situation that's ever happened basically in the history of the NFL. But the Chargers are in the fourth worst cap situation heading into the offseason of anybody out there. So, like, that is just on there because we know that Eckler's going to be gone. I don't know how much of a reality that actually is for the Chargers. I think they have to end up going kind of like...
Yeah, agreed.
Like mid-tier to bottom... Mid-tier to kind of almost bottom tier.
I also don't know. I mean, if we keep cruising down the list, and this is where I think these are interesting to look at because almost from the... You know, like we did a little bit yesterday. How many teams can you just eliminate pretty easily, right? And I tend to agree with you on that. I'm not saying you can eliminate them. I think they're 4-1, at least for a bit of a reason. But yes, I think the cap space is too much of an issue that you really can't entertain an ideal.
If they really want a running back, there's no first-round running backs anyway this year. So, like, they could get whoever they really love in the second round or somewhere in the third or whatever.
And I think that's why Blake Corum, I think, you know, we're looking at those odds. I think Chargers were number one, top of the list on that. But, okay, Bears. Really realistic, they're going to entertain Saquon Barkley when they've got kind of assuming they're going Caleb Williams, kind of a massive overhaul of that whole team. I don't really know if I see that. Eagles, maybe, like Ravens, maybe. I just think that you can start to cross off some of those teams that you're seeing on that list.
Derrick Henry, Ravens 2-1, Eagles 5-1, Cowboys 5.5-1, Texans 7.5-1. Chargers at 10-1, Packers at 10-1, Titans at 10-1, Vikings at 12-1, Dolphins at 12-1. And you're going like, wait, what? Why are there so many teams that are much lower odds than it is for Saquon Barkley? Because Derrick Henry's going to come way cheaper. That's why.
Yeah.
Like, you might be able to sign Derrick Henry to a one-year deal because, listen, Father Time is undefeated. This is the this is definitely the downswing for Derrick Henry. Like, you are acquiring Derrick Henry, understanding that he is no longer your every down bell cow guy. Like, yes, he's going to be able to still do some things where we look and go like, wow, there's the Derrick Henry stuff. He just plowed over that dude again. Yeah, but that we even saw this year, Kelly. He was losing snaps to Tajay Spears. Like, as the season progressed, it was more and more time of Derrick Henry over on the sidelines. And so with that, that's why more teams are in the mix here, because you're going to be able to get him not only for a shorter amount of time, but for cheaper as well. And so that brings a whole bunch more teams into the mix.
I love the idea of him on the Cowboys. Like, that is
They found out this year that Pollard can't be a
right. Exactly. Can't be a they gambled on Pollard. Yeah. Figured out that's not going to work. So they've got to do something. Yeah. I think they've got to add something. And I mean, yeah, we're talking about a lot of offensive weapons then on the Dallas side. But I think you add him where he can be that short yardage running back, and you can mix in Pollard along the way. I mean, taking pressure off Dak Prescott's shoulders and round out this offense. That's the one where I think the fit makes the most sense. Yeah. But I think you see the teams at the top that you do for a reason, right? All three of them. They could use a little help with the running back position, and you're going to be able to get, you know, a guy who at times is going to still look like one of the best backs in the league for a cheap amount of money.
And the reason the Ravens come in at 2-1 as a favorite is because they're okay. They already do that with their running back situation anyway, right? Like, they don't do bell cow running back there for the Ravens. Like, everything is a rotation. They have 2-3 guys on the roster at every single time that might end up getting 5-6 carries a game every single game. And so they make a ton of sense. I think the Cowboys make a ton of sense. If I'm the Texans, I kind of go big or go home as opposed to go Derrick Henry. So I think those odds are a little wonky to me. But, like, yeah, I'm kind of more the, I'd rather go big or go home if you're the Texans. Chargers, he could be a one-year fill-in because you're going to lose.
I mean, it makes more sense. He makes more sense than Saquon there, though, just because he's going to be cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so, absolutely.
I still don't really think that's as realistic as some of these other teams, but yeah, I mean, he will be cheaper, so it makes more sense for than Saquon.
I'm glad you pointed out the Cowboys, because instantly to me, that's where I was kind of drawn to a team that I think will really be in the mix for this. Because when it all comes down to it, Kelly, Jerry Jones loved when Zeke was there, and they had that 1-2 punch, and now you could kind of go back to that if you bring in a Derek.
And I think we'll be better. I think we'll be better than what you had 2 years ago.
Let's talk some Major League Baseball with Joe Sheehan when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you are not already a VSiN Pro subscriber, we're going to let you do it for $9.99 American, VSiN.com/subscribe. And with that first month offer, you get our daily best bets. You get the betting splits. You get the March Madness betting guide. You get every single thing. We do all the articles that are going to be popping up on the site over the next 30 days. You get that for just $9.99. Again, head on over to VSiN.com/subscribe to take advantage of that offer. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin on the desk with me here. We endeavor to get in touch with Joe Sheehan. We'll see if that comes to fruition. If so, we're going to talk some baseball here in this segment. But I will continue on with a couple of these other markets that are available over at DraftKings. And again, we're not going to get into all of them, because, like, we're going to talk some more of these tomorrow. So be sure and head back over here. But Kelly, the difference in years past, I mean, like, we're getting to make the playoff markets, and I get it. Like, you know, it's only on a couple of teams. Regular season win totals already up, and it's only on the Chiefs and Niners, but still available on the Chiefs and Niners. Chiefs at 10.5 and the Niners at 11.5. Both already heavily juiced because people have gotten involved. Chiefs on the over 10.5, -145. 49ers on the under 11.5, -150. So people are chiming in. Chiefs are still going to be good. Niners might not be as good. And that's what the people are saying right now about the two Super Bowl participants.
Yeah, I was hoping they were going to post a few more here as the days went on, but I'm not saying there might be some value in this. We're just early when there's only two posted and people run to bet like right away. Like it kind of just like you could take an early position of just going against wherever the money is coming in right now.
It's super interesting on the Niners side of things because it's a high total. Don't get me wrong, but with the high total, you wouldn't expect people to just come in and just be laying it all over the place, but they did. They don't like the Niners. You guys don't like the Niners out there. Think the Niners are going to fall off. You don't believe in that Purdy guy even after 2 years. Trust me, it took me a whole second year to start.
Yeah, me too.
Believing him as well. All right, let's talk some Major League Baseball. He is the owner and proprietor of the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter, and coincidentally, his name is Joe Sheehan. Joe, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I thought about naming it after somebody else. That just seemed weird.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you could have named it the Babe Ruth newsletter. Some of you would be like, well, what the hell? You know, what's going on with all that? And you might even run into some legal trouble there. So I'm glad you just named it after yourself. So we talk about this. This is kind of the second sports season for everyone. You get out of the NFL and people start going like, oh, I forgot. All right, there's other sports. Let me start getting prepared. Well, guess what? It's good. The good thing about Major League Baseball is you're not trying to join in the middle here. You're not trying to jump in after you have a large sample size. We can actually get going with what we think about these teams and how these teams looked and everything in the offseason. And I guess my first question to you, for the people that haven't followed a ton of the offseason moves and haven't followed, I mean, outside of the Shohei Ohtani stuff, I mean, for people that haven't followed, you know, what goes on with these teams when they're not actually playing, what teams do you think made real impacts in the offseason and made you like them even better than you already did?
Well, this wasn't a year where we got a lot of surprises, where teams like, say, the Padres made big moves. The two teams that improved the most this offseason were the Yankees and the Dodgers. The Yankees went out and traded for Juan Soto. They signed Marcus Stroman. This is a team that had frontline talent last year, but their depth was really bad. So by adding frontline talent, that pushes some of the other guys down. Stroman's a big get for them. They lost Luis Severino to free agency. Obviously, they had pitching injuries last year that cost them. So that helps them. But obviously, the Dodgers adding Shohei Ohtani, who was the MVP last year, even as a hitter, guys, one of the 5 to 6 best hitters in the game. That's a huge impact on their lineup. And then getting Yoshinobu Yamamoto from NPB, this guy we expect to step in and be a number one caliber starter, maybe not carrying the volume of a U.S.-based number one starter. Starters in NPB only start once a week in a slightly shorter season, so they max out at 26, 27 starts, maybe 160 innings. I think you can expect that from Yamamoto here. So, you know, usually we get, some small market team, some mid-market team will surprise us. But this year, it was really all about the Yankees and Dodgers.
So no value really on the Orioles and Rangers, kind of these surprise teams from last year. Is there any team sitting in that middling, maybe even a team further, a little bit further back, that you're eyeing and saying, like, you know what, maybe they could make a run if they stay on the right side of the injury bug and all the different things that go on there, that you've got your eye, you maybe say, maybe it's not worth a bet, Joe, today, but maybe it's something that we want to get involved, a month into the season.
Well, about 2 weeks ago, I did this for subscribers to the newsletter, and I looked at two teams that, you know, I thought were undervalued in the early numbers. One is the Cleveland Guardians. Look at a team that, you know, pretty much always is around 500 or better. You got to go back to 2012 to find the last time prior to the last year that they were under 77 wins. They're coming in at 76.5. And again, last year, a lot of injuries. You know, Tristan McKenzie, Shane Bieber. And they were able to use that as an opportunity to bring along Gavin Williams, Tanner Bibee. They've got so much pitching depth. Obviously, the offense was a disappointment. They've got to actually make an effort to start playing guys with some more power. They made a trade last year, Evan Cervalli to the Rays for a first base prospect named Kyle Manzardo. He's going to play for them. He'll be good. I expect Andres Jimenez, who was an all-star in 2022, was pretty bad last year. I expect him to bounce back. You know, I see them at 76.5. I think not only are they going to beat that number, I have them as the favorite in the division this year. I think the one question mark, Terry Francona has retired. And they've hired Stephen Vogt, who was actually a backup catcher as recently as 2022.
I was about to say, like, I feel like I had him on my fantasy team like 6 months ago or something. It feels like he's right there.
It's a risk, but no managerial experience whatsoever. I mean, it's one thing to say that the guy's got his first managerial job, but he's managed. He's been a bench coach. He's been in the minors. Vogt's basically coming in cold. So that's the variance here with the Guardians. And the other team I like is the Cubs. They were posted at 83. I actually think they're the favorite in the division. I want to say at FanDuel, they were like plus 210 to win the division. I think that's a great number. A lot of people are the Cardinals. Still have some people even after the Burns trade talking about the Brewers. But I look at this Cubs team. You know, they weren't an 83-win team last year. They played to the level of an 88-89-win team. Losing Bellinger is going to hurt. But remember, Bellinger is still out there. And that's actually a big point with a lot of these numbers right now. Blake Snell, Cody Bellinger, Matt Chapman, Jordan Montgomery. That's like 15 wins worth of free agents sitting out there. And that doesn't count this guys like Michael Taylor and Adam Duvall and JD Martinez who have yet to sign. So when you're looking at these markets, you almost have to say, you know, what team do I think still has some money to spend, might go out into the market? I think the Cubs are that team. They're listed at 83. I think they're the favorite in the Central, and I think they have one big move still in.
Joe, if we look at the very top of the win total board, Dodgers at 103.5 and the Braves at 101.5. There's no question that both of these teams are going to be good and probably very good. But have we gone too far with these triple digit win totals?
I think so, because teams just don't need to win that many games anymore. With the expansion of the playoffs, obviously, you know, we know going into the season, likely is not the Dodgers and Braves are going to be the 1-2 seeds. They're fighting for that home field advantage, but they're not going to go all out. You know, we already know the Dodgers are going to spend the entire season managing these pitchers, Yamamoto, Walker Buehler coming back. He'll top out at 140 innings. You know, they're managing their pitchers for a 7-month season. They know they've got to get those 6 high-intensity starts from them in October if they want to win the World Series. So the motivation to win 104, 105, 106 games, to be a truly great team, just isn't there. And frankly, the Dodgers know this as well as anyone. The Dodgers have had these 110-win seasons, but then they lose 3 out of 4, and nobody cares how good they were over 6 months. So the motivation for these teams to hit over those high numbers just isn't there. I don't know if I would recommend necessarily going under them, but I absolutely would not go over.
Talking to Joe Sheehan of the Joe Sheehan newsletter. Joe, sky high last year. We're all Mets fans and Padres fans thinking that this was going to be the year. Both teams just absolutely disappoint. Got about 90 seconds here. What's a team or two? We talked about the teams that you like. What are a team or two that you think that are really highly rated that really have bust potential?
The Cardinals are getting a lot of buzz coming into the season. I can't say I'm all that excited about the pitching additions. They signed Sonny Gray, Lance Lynn, and Kyle Gibson. And that's really great if you're going to play in the Seniors Professional Baseball League. But if you're trying to win the NL Central, I mean, that's a lot of age and a lot of risk. So I think I'm lower on them. And then over in the AL, you know, I would also look at the Twins. They won the division last year, didn't do anything this winter with a lot of uncertainty about their television money situation. Some real pitching depth issues. They lost Gray. They've got Pablo Lopez leading that rotation. They've got some depth in the bullpen I like, but I think there's a lot of collapse potential with the Twins.
Joe, 30 seconds. Any thoughts on the Cy Young Award? Anybody outside of just the normies at the top of the board?
Yeah, it's hard now because guys just don't get the innings. Uh-huh. Tarik Skubal with the Tigers came back last year, was great in the second half, getting a ton of helium from the fantasy crowd. You know, if the Tigers are as good as they could be this year, he could be one of these guys that goes 16-4 and steals it.
He is Joe Sheehan. You can find him on the Twitter machine at @Joe_Sheehan. And of course, the owner proprietor there of the Joe Sheehan newsletter. Go in, subscribe to that as well. Joe, thanks for the time this morning, buddy. Appreciate it.
Take care, man.
Yeah, this is it's coming, Kelly. I know it's coming. Baseball, it's right around the corner, buddy.
Can you be an emergency catcher if you're the manager too? Like, is that something that can happen in 2024?
I don't know about the current rule. I mean, that has happened in years past,
right? Yeah, 50 years ago.
I just don't know if that's a thing. Maybe we'll look it up on the break. We'll have an answer for you or not whenever we come back here on A Numbers Game.